Welcome to In the News on Chris. I'm George Akerley, and today I'm reading from The Current Community, dated Thursday, June the 29th, 2017. The first article is from the local news column. It's from Windsor, entitled Northwest Park Seeks to Expand Maple Operation. This article was written by Jennifer Coe. Northwest Park will break ground on an extension to its sugar shack in the coming weeks. The current sugar house, which sits next to the animal barn, has been serving the park and the public for decades, but its main champion and self-described fanatic, Chuck Drake, says it's time to look to the future. Through the years, we've been making the syrup, and I have volunteers that help me, said Drake. He and his volunteers collect the syrup from 200 local trees, and they help him boil it down in the sugar shack. But after that, there is more work to be done. Drake has to transport the syrup to the kitchen in Northwest Park, or sometimes even his home, to filter for impurities and bottle. Sometimes he is there late into the night finishing up the product. They make, on average, 50 gallons of syrup per year. Drake says with this expansion, he would like to bring the entire process under one roof, from tap to bottle. The plan is to take out the east wall and go out about 20 feet. Then they will connect the building to running hot and cold water, partially insulate it, and give the volunteers counter space on which they can process Windsor syrup and bottle it. This way, volunteers are taught the process from start to finish. We'll almost double what we have in space, he said. For years, Drake and his volunteers have been teaching the public about the maple syrup process. Countless groups have come through the tiny sugar shack to learn about the processing which goes into making maple syrup, from Boy Scout troops to senior citizens to groups of Windsor citizens. So, a lot of Drake's focus is to be able to transform the space into a place where he can better teach these bygone skills. Because it's an agricultural product in the state of Connecticut, education is very important, he said. And it's not just education of people who want to make maple syrup, but also to make people aware of this as a product that is grown locally that they can get. The maple syrup industry is huge, with Connecticut only producing 1% of the bottled product. He plans to use the additional wall space to put up teaching materials that will assist him and others in explaining the process to the public. In addition, he is excited to bring the shack up to ADA codes so that those using wheelchairs can have easy access to the inside of the building. Monies to fund this project will come not only from the past sales of syrup at Northwest Park, but also from a grant given to the Friends of Northwest Park and funded in part by the Connecticut Department of Agriculture through the Community Investment Act. Private donations to make this project fully come to fruition are also being accepted. For more information on how to contribute, go to www.northwestpark.org. The next article also comes from the local news column. It's entitled Ticks and Lyme Disease, the Focus of an Event. This article written by Dennis Hohenberger. The second annual It's Time to Get Ticked Off put the focus on ticks that carry the Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses. The event was held at Northwest Park Nature Center on June 17. Experts on Lyme disease and those affected by the condition offered tips on tick prevention and how to recognize signs of infection. Sharon Enott, a nurse with the Town of Windsor Health Department, said Lyme disease has become a major public health concern in the region. She said the number of ticks is on the rise due to the warmer-than-usual winter. A misconception about ticks, especially species that carry the Lyme disease marker, are that the critters exist only in the deep woods. Enott said ticks can be found in yards, gardens, and nearby parks, or anywhere animals are present. Enott said the health department remains committed to tick prevention, teaching people how to avoid ticks and about yard treatments that reduce the tick population. She recommended tick checks at the end of each day. Tick checks can be performed in a swimming pool or during a hot shower, places where the ticks can be washed off. Transmission of Lyme disease occurs when ticks latch on and begin to feed on their host, she said. We're seeing more and more ticks in this area carrying other bacterial viruses, Enott said. These infections have to be treated differently. It's important you get to a physician who understands Lyme disease and these other illnesses and get the right treatment. Chronic conditions can arise from Lyme disease and other tick-related illnesses. Enott showed a black-legged tick, commonly known as a deer tick, which carries Lyme disease. The female black-legged spreads the infection. The American dog tick does not carry Lyme disease. She suggested DEET insect repellent for anyone venturing outdoors. Clothes treated with permethrin also help repel ticks, said Enott. Permethrin not only repels ticks, but kills them too. Several companies sell pre-treated permethrin clothing, including socks and pants. Ticks have a tendency of crawling up, she said. Enid continues to field calls from the public about ticks and Lyme disease. The health department will accept captured ticks to be examined at a state agricultural station based in Windsor. If the tick is found to be a deer tick, the specimen will be sent to a lab in New Haven for further testing. Individuals are contacted if the lab suspects the tick carried Lyme disease. The person is encouraged to see a doctor immediately. Enot added that the common white-footed mouse is the primary vector or carrier of deer ticks. Chipmunks, squirrels, and small birds also carry deer ticks. The tick can be the size of a fleck of pepper, she said. Bonnie Waterhouse, founder and president of Voices Against Lyme Disease, said her son Darren was infected with Lyme disease 25 years ago. It took doctors 2 years after the initial infection to diagnose her son correctly. A teen at the time, doctors thought Darren had mononucleosis or similar illnesses. Only until symptoms of Bell's palsy appeared did doctors suspect Lyme disease. He never had a rash, and he never felt a tick, Waterhouse said. He was working at a reservoir in Brantford when he got infected, a high-risk environment for Lyme disease. At first, the antibiotics prescribed to Darren helped. However, the symptoms returned, which has been a central theme in his life the past few decades. Darren Waterhouse, who was present for the event, said he is unable to work. The condition has left him in a weakened state, which also affected his concentration and cognitive abilities. He likely contracted Lyme disease at 16 or 17 years old. He added, Lyme disease patients can also deal with heart and organ conditions. He said few doctors are literate about Lyme disease, an ailment tricky to diagnose. After a while, the 2 weeks' worth of antibiotics is not effective, he said, especially with a person who has had the condition for years. He continues to undergo extensive immune therapy and bicillin treatments. He also takes several medications daily. Our next article comes from the Business column. It's entitled, UPS to Charge More During Holidays, this article written by Michael Sasso. United Parcel Service will place its first holiday season surcharges on U.S. packages as the world's largest package delivery company seeks to defray a surge in year-end costs. A fee of 27 cents a package will be levied on deliveries by the residential ground network on certain weeks in November and December, UPS said in a statement. Parcels sent to homes using Next Day Air will see an additional charge of 81 cents in the week ending December 23rd, while shipments through the deferred network will incur a per-package fee of 97 cents. The new charges are needed to help pay for additional holiday capacity in airplanes and trucks purchased at short-term premium rates, as well as to offset the cost of temporary facilities and seasonal help. UPS hired about 95,000 temporary workers during last year's holiday season. It's about having the customers who generate these extra costs pay for it, said Satish Jindal, founder of SJ Consulting Group in Sewickley, Pennsylvania. He said FedEx Corp is likely to follow suit on peak season fees. UPS should have adopted the approach in 2014 following a disastrous 2013 holiday season in which it failed to deliver thousands of packages ahead of Christmas, Jindal said. The biggest shippers make their own contracts with Atlanta-based UPS and wouldn't necessarily pay the peak surcharge, but everyone else can get around it by avoiding the busiest period, Jindal said. UPS shares dropped 3.5% this year through June 16th, compared with a 9.5% gain for an S&P 500 index of industrial companies. On average, UPS collected $7.97 per package shipped through its U.S. ground delivery division last year. So the 27-cent surcharge on each item represents an increase of about 3.4%. With the new peak charge, per-package costs for many shipments will only marginally increase during this very busy time of the year, said Chief Commercial Officer Alan Gershenshorn. The new fees will pertain to certain weeks starting on November 19th, with no charge for residential ground-shipped packages during the two-week period from December 3rd to December 16th. All residential packages sent by air or ground will incur a surcharge in the week ending December 23rd. UPS also will introduce a levy on large packages and items that exceed size limits during the holiday season, the company said. FedEx declined to comment about any actions it may take on pricing. The next article comes from the local news column. It's entitled, Lunch Program Starts July 10th, this article written by Stephen Good. Breakfast is on in Bloomfield, and lunch too. For the ninth consecutive summer, the town's public schools and other public buildings will be hosting free breakfast and lunch for children ages 18 and younger. The town has served hundreds of thousands of meals since joining the federally funded program, including almost 27,000 last year. Bloomfield Food Service Director Susan Pinkham said that the program provides nutritious meals to a population in need. This is particularly important as more than half of students in the school district receive free or reduced price meals during the school year, Pinkham said. School meals will be served until July 28th. The meals will be served Monday to Friday, unless otherwise noted at the following locations: Metacomet School at 185 School Street, breakfast from 8 until 8:30 a.m., lunch from 10:50 to 11:20 a.m., the Wintonberry Early Childhood Magnet School at 44 Brown Street, breakfast from 9 to 9:30, lunch 11:30 to noon, Carmen Arace School at 390 Park Avenue, breakfast 8 until 8:30 a.m., lunch from 11 to 11:30 a.m., and Bloomfield High School, 5 Huckleberry Lane, breakfast from 8 until 8:30 a.m., with lunch from 11:30 a.m. to noon. Also, Prosser Public Library at 1 Tunxus Avenue, June 26th through August 18th, will have snacks from 11 to 11:30 a.m., lunch from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m., Monday through Saturday. The Faith McMahon Wintonberry Library at 1015 Blue Hills Avenue will June 27th through August 18th, lunch from 1:15 to 2 p.m., snacks from 3:30 to 4 p.m., Tuesday through Saturday. Breakfast and lunch will also be served to children enrolled in Bloomfield School's Early Start programs. Participants in the Bloomfield Extension program are also eligible. Meals will also be served to campers enrolled in Bloomfield Leisure Services camps at 330 Park Avenue, Camp First Cathedral at 1151 Blue Hills Avenue, and with the Love and Care Association Sports Camp on Rockwell Avenue. The program will be closed on July 4th. Our next article comes from the Real Estate column. It's entitled, Removing the Stress from Home Buying, the article written by Melissa Rowland. Are you stressed out about your next move? Sleepless nights? Wonder and worry if you'll ever find the house that fits your budget and hits most of the items on your wish list? First, know that you're not alone and that your feelings are not uncommon. For most, the purchase of a home is by far the most significant purchase in their lives. While every major purchase will come with its share of anxiety, here's some best practices to follow to de-stress the home buying experience. Stay in your comfort zone. Of course, a huge consideration for most is the financing part of the process, whether they'll be approved for what they want, wondering if they'll be able to afford the payments, wondering what their dollar can buy them in the first place. First things first, talk to a bank or a lender and get pre-approved and find out what your budget is. And as with any budget, you don't have to spend all of it. Figure out what is comfortable and then tell yourself, I'm comfortable paying X up to XYZ and no more. Recognize what your limits are and respect them. You don't have to be like everyone else out there who will break the bank to buy something that they really can't afford. Firmly decide that you're going to do what's best for you and that you're going to stay on budget. Eliminate chaos. At any time, there could be dozens of houses on the market in your budget for you to choose from. And with that, we can run into house hunting overload, having so many choices that we can't decide on one to make a buying decision. You go from house to house to house, and after a while, they all start to look the same. Here's an analogy that some will appreciate. If you're at the hardware store and you have a choice between 3 shades of gray to paint your living room, or 30, which is easier to choose from? The choice between 3, of course. We are overwhelmed when there's lots of options. To that end, only look at the houses that are the very best in your budget and for your needs and wants. After all, you only want to look at the very best houses, right? You deserve the best experience, too. So do yourself a favor and do your first viewing of a house online, eliminating those that don't have a lot of the qualities, including price, that you're looking for. When you're looking at houses, think of it this way. You're not only looking, you're looking and writing offers. To reduce the feelings of being overwhelmed and house-ending fatigue, ask yourself if you'd make an offer on the house that you're requesting a showing at. If the answer is an adamant no, think twice before booking an appointment. Just going to see usually backfires. Shrug therapy. Lots of things can happen during the house buying process. Your offer isn't accepted. You're outbid on the one. Big ticket repair items are discovered at the inspection. your financing doesn't go through, your situation changes, and you're no longer able to buy. How do you overcome these stressors? One strategy would be to practice shrug therapy. If you had to, for whatever reason, you'd be able to shrug it off and walk away from the deal because there's plenty of other houses out there that might ultimately be a better fit for you. Buying a home can be a rewarding and fun experience, but it can also be stressful and overwhelming at times, too. Knowing that there's strategies to take that can make the experience that much more enjoyable is the very first step in de-stressing the process of finding and buying your next home. The next article is from the local news column from Windsor. It's entitled Summer Youth in Action. Summer Youth in Action is a summer program designed specifically for teens to help them gain a greater appreciation of themselves and the world around them. All activities have a focus on decision-making, problem-solving, self-identity, and critical thinking skills to help youth on their road to the future, as well as academic skills specific to each week's theme. Each week includes field trips to enhance learning. Enrichment and social learning activities are included on all field trips, as well as summer fun activities and swimming on some days at Gosley Pool. This program takes place Monday through Friday, beginning July the 3rd, from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at 330 Windsor Avenue, Community Center. The fee is $105 per week. For more information, contact Youth Services Bureau Coordinator Sarah Maffleone at 860-285-1946. And the next article, also from the local news column, is also from Windsor, entitled Preschool Program Students Sought. The Windsor School Readiness Council is seeking children 3 or 4 years of age to attend a local National Association for the Education of Young Children accredited full-time preschool program. Windsor families who are interested and meet state median income qualifications may apply. Windsor School Readiness is a state initiative designed to provide a high-quality experience for preschool-age children whose parents are under the state median guidelines. The program helps preschool children develop the social, emotional, and academic skills needed for kindergarten and provides subsidies for families who live in Windsor and meet the income eligibility guidelines. Enrollment is ongoing and by appointment only. Preschoolers who are admitted to the program can begin as soon as September of this year. For more information about the application process or to schedule an appointment, call 860-687-2070 at extension 218. The next article is also from the local news column from Windsor, entitled Senior Center News. The Windsor Senior Center at 599 Mattianic Avenue is offering the following events. Visit http://www.townofwindsorct.com/senior-services or call 860-285-1992 for information. The next AARP driver safety class will be held on Monday, July 10th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Senior Center Lounge. You may qualify for discount on your insurance after completing this class. Call 860-285-1992 for registrations. Cost to attend is $15 for AARP members and $20 for non-members. The class is limited to 20 students. It's not too early to start thinking about entering the annual 55-plus tomato growing contest. Registration has begun, and the contest will be held at the Windsor Senior Center on Thursday, August the 10th at 1 p.m. Registration forms are available in the Senior Center office and must be returned to the office by August 3rd. Cash prizes and trophies will be awarded, one winner per household. Call 860-285-1992 for more information or stop in the office for a registration form. Stop by the Windsor Senior Center weekdays between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. to check out exercise classes including yoga, Zumba, Tai Chi, Qigong, Shape Up and Workout, Sit, Stretch, and Groove, and Posture Strength and Beginner Yoga. All classes are held during the day. A water fitness class takes place in the evenings at the Windsor High School indoor pool. Line dancing, tap dancing, square dancing, and multicultural dance are also offered. Learn to speak French every first and third Friday each month from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Free memory screenings. 20-minute screenings are available between 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. every third Wednesday of each month at the Senior Center. Senior Tech Help. Monday afternoons from 3:45 to 4:30 p.m., get one-on-one technical assistance offered by Loomis Chafee students. The following trips are offered. Comfort Touch massages by massage therapist Corrine Zukowski are held at the Windsor Senior Center every Friday between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. She will offer full-body massage designed specifically for the needs and physiology of seniors. The sessions are anywhere from 15 minutes to 60 minutes, your choice. The cost to attend is $1 per minute. Appointments can be made by calling the center at 860-285-1992. The Windsor Senior Center presents a trip to Las Vegas in May. Call 860-285-1992 to sign up or for more information. Informational flyers are available in the Senior Center office. The next article comes from the local news column from Windsor entitled Professional Development Experts Sought. Windsor School Readiness is looking for highly trained, degreed individuals with an expertise in hands-on math and science lesson planning for the preschool-age child. This individual would make on-site center visits to assist with implementing standard-based math and science activities in centers within classrooms, provide tailored professional feedback and ideas to use in the classroom, and arrange for a follow-up professional development training for staff. The individual must have his own transportation and a flexible schedule. Interested parties can send a resume to aracht@windsorct.org. The next article, also from the local news, is from Bloomfield. It's entitled Dementia Caregivers Support Group. The Dementia Caregivers Support Group, held at Duncaster on the last Monday of each month from 10:30 a.m. until noon, meets in the hospitality room at Duncaster, 30 Loffler Road. Facilitators are Michelle Wyman, LSW, CDP, and Shara Therian, MSW. For more information or to register, call Michelle at 860-276-5399, extension 4404, or call Sarah at 860-380-5012. The next article, also from the local news column, is from Windsor, entitled Fine Art Classes. The Windsor Art Center Studios at 35 Central Street will offer 8 different art classes and a Saturday workshop. Classes include cartooning for teenagers, clay sculpture, pastel painting, pen and ink drawing, watercolors, hand-painted collages, oil painting, and creating art with gourds. For additional information, visit http://www.windsorartcenter.org or call 860-508-3186. And the next article, also from the local news column, is statewide. It's entitled Softball Umpires Sought. The North Central Connecticut Board of Softball Umpires is seeking new members for the 2017 season. Our board provides services to schools, youth, and adult recreational leagues in the greater Hartford area. No experience is necessary. For more information or to join, contact Al at prez798@aol.com or call or text 860-205-1688. Our next article, also from the local news column, is area-wide. It's entitled Nutmeg Senior Ride. Nutmeg Senior Rides provides door-to-door transportation for seniors and the visually impaired in North Central Connecticut, and now has the online capability for volunteers to pick the rides that fit their schedule. Volunteer drivers help riders shop and pick out their items, go to doctor appointments, bingo, lunch with friends, and more. Mileage for drivers is reimbursed at 40 cents per mile. Volunteer drivers are needed for expanded service in Bloomfield, East Granby, East Windsor, Enfield, Granby, Summers, South Windsor, Suffield, Windsor, and Windsor Locks. Applications to become a driver are available at www.nutmegseniorrides.org or by sending an email to ctseniorrides@gmail.com. For additional information, call Executive Director Margaret Smith-Hale at 860-758-7833. The next article, also from the local news column from Windsor, entitled Groceries to Go. Groceries to Go is a supplemental grocery program for seniors. Participants can choose from a variety of easy-to-prepare and nutritious food items and educational materials every other Friday from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. in the Windsor Senior Center at 599 Mattionic Avenue. Applicants must be 60 years or older, reside in a household that meets income guidelines, and be a resident of the town of Windsor. For more information or to fill out an application, contact Windsor Social Services by calling 860-285-1839. Those who are homebound may contact Deb Sheldon at that number, 860-285-1839. The next article, also from the local news column from Windsor, is entitled Youth Services Bureau. The Windsor Youth Services Bureau is offering babysitters training, first aid, and CPR training for youth and a home alone safety class. Contact the Youth Services Coordinator at 860-285-1990 with any questions. The next article from the local news column is from Windsor entitled Windsor School Readiness Search. Windsor School Readiness is looking for NAEYC accredited and or Head Start programs that are interested in becoming program providers for school readiness children and families. If you are interested in becoming a school readiness program provider, call Amanda Racht, R-A-C-H-T, at 860-687-2070, extension 229. The next article, also from the local news column from Windsor, entitled Bereavement Support Group. Mary's Place, a center for grieving children and families at 6 Pequannock Avenue, has free support groups that meet twice per month. Visit marysplacect.org or call Brittany at 860-688-9621 for details. The next article from the local news is from Windsor entitled Kiwanis Club Meetings. The Kiwanis Club of Windsor, a service organization which brings aid to children in need, meets every Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. at Jim's Pizza, 124 Pequannock Avenue in Windsor. Visit windsorkiwanis.org for information. That's all the time we have for today. I've been reading from the Current Community, dated Thursday, June the 29th, 2017. I'm George Akerley. So long, until next time.